setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, you have joined a conversation about you, specifically what you were created to do. That's right. We're going to look at who you are, that unique contribution you were created to make, all the different places where you can do that, and then how you actually get there. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the number. So we talk about talent, passion, and mission as the three important indicators in discovering what you were created to do. And this entire show is focused on you doing what you were created to do, specifically through your work. See, most people in this world look at work as, well, I just have to work in order to live. It's just a job, got to do it, got to go to work, got to pay the bills. As opposed to, wait a second, I was created to contribute, to make a difference in this world. And by the way, you don't ever have to convince anybody of that. A couple of these universal truths that are undeniable. Okay, so one thing is we never have to teach a kid how to be selfish, do we? You never have to teach a toddler how to take a toy from another toddler. We just do it. Here's another thing we don't have to teach. We don't have to teach anybody how to lie. Selfishness, lying. I mean, come on, we just all been there, right? The other thing we don't have to, and there are many, but another thing we don't have to teach anybody is to lay awake at night and go, why am I here? What should I do with my life? So you don't ever have to teach anybody that question. Everybody comes to that question on their own way. Why? I would suggest to you that the reason why we don't have to teach anybody to ask that question, that we all do it naturally, is because we are created to contribute. Thus, we wonder about it. We all want to make a difference. So the way that I have, through my own journey, of come to clarity, and now I give it to you, is a three-step process of discovery. The three indicators that your creator gave you. Number one, talent. That's what you do well. Hard skills, soft skills. Number two, passion. Work you love. You love the work. And number three, mission. The results that you want to create. So today I want to give you a really simple way for those of you who kind of struggle with this. Ken, I don't know what work I love. I don't know what I'm passionate about. Let me give you, as you begin to explore and begin to look into things, work I love. Here's the passion test to let you know how much passion do I have. Is it hobby level? Or is it career level? Or even further than career, crusade? Like it's your life's calling. I'm about calling. All right? So, three simple tests. When you begin to look into, do I love this work? Ask yourself, could I do this? Could I do it? Could I do this? That's the way we pose that. Or you could say, you could make a statement out of it. I could do this. Yeah, I could be a nurse. I could be a physician's assistant. I could do physical therapy. You fill in the blank. You begin to look at these things. You go, is it an I could do this statement? Could I do this? I could do this. Oh, that's not passion. That's not passion. Here's the second question. We're going to go up a level. Ask yourself, should I do this? Are you looking at something and you're saying, I should do this? Now we're starting to get to another level here. I should do this. I look at this, I go, I should do this. See, that's where we start to begin to, and by the way, let's pause here and look at this in our personal lives, just so we can see the difference here. I could start eating healthy. I could. I could lose weight. I could exercise. I could. Now we move into I should. Now we're beginning to go from possibility to conviction. I should do this. Now I'm starting to feel like I should do this. This is right. It would be good. It's healthy. Whatever the situation, I should do it. But see, a lot of people sitting on the sidelines of life saying, I should heal this relationship. I should pay off debt. I should whatever. But see, the should is not enough to move you to action. Here's the third level, and this is when you know that you've got a deep, deep passion for something. I must do this. So I could do this. I could do it. There's no passion or conviction there. I should do this. Uh-oh, we got some conviction and belief. But it gets to a point where I go, I must do this. And when you look at something and you go, I must do that. In other words, I can't imagine not doing this. If I don't do this, I will live with deep regret. I will not do what's right. I must do this. So if you look at any area of history, any great woman or man who has done anything significant, it gets to the point where they go from, I could do this, to I should do this, to I must. See, the should is I'm beginning to go, okay, there's something behind this. I believe there's some heart there, there's some conviction. This would be right. But boy, when we get to I must do this, that's where we go, if I don't do it, it's wrong. If I don't show up, then I am letting someone down. Now let's bring all this into focus. When you get to the I must statements, now you know that this is the passion that you need for calling. You begin to realize, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Remember, I define passion as work you love. You do it for the love of the work, not for the notoriety, people knowing you, seeing you, not for the money. You do it because you love it. I'm going to tell you something. I've met men who love working on engines. They love working on engines so much, their hands are calloused over. Their fingernails are forever greased up. They don't work on cars for notoriety. They don't work on cars for money. They work on cars because they love fixing stuff. Same thing with a builder, nurse, doctor. Hey, whatever field you're looking at, you get to the point where you go, I must do that work. If I don't show up and do this work, I'm letting somebody down. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. We've got to start looking at work and our purpose together to see that if we don't show up and teach that second grade kid who's flopping around at the desk like a squirrel on a narcotic, and it's hard to teach him, and it's driving you crazy, and you can't get through to that kid, you don't quit. Because that kid's been put in your classroom and needs you. I must. You get to the I must, and now you know. That's passion. That's work you love. Your call's coming up next. This is the Ken Coleman Show. If you're considering a career in technology, I recommend Bethel Tech, and I'm not alone. Brendan said, before Bethel Tech, I was driving Uber. Within 4 months of graduating, I got a job paying $60,000. About 2 years after that, I got a remote job that pays $130,000, all thanks to what I learned at Bethel Tech. This is what I want for you folks. Get started today at BethelTech.net and get $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose, this is the Ken Coleman Show, where we take your calls, where we teach you how to be the best version of you. See, the world doesn't need a knockoff of you. Stop trying to be somebody else. Be you. Give the world what you were created to give. And you watch you watch that purpose spread to every other area of your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are not working on purpose, if you are not being who you were called to be in your work, it's going to affect your personal life. It just will. So I don't care what your story is, where you are on the journey. You have the answers. I'm your guide. One phone call, you're going to get a counselor, coach, and a cheerleader. Let's go. 844-747-2577. Crystal's going to start us off in Cleveland, Ohio. Crystal, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken.
Hi, Crystal.
How can we display confidence in new positions without sounding arrogant?
Oh, look at you. You were ready to go. Well, see, confidence and arrogance are actually not as close as that question would imply. And I get it. I've been there before. But see, confidence is a belief. Arrogance is an attitude. Does that make sense to you?
Confidence is a belief, meaning I believe that I can do what God is calling me to do, yep. Versus arrogance, meaning...
It's an attitude. I'm better than everybody else. No one else can do what I do.
Godly.
Yeah, I'm irreplaceable. No one else can do what I do. You know, so confidence is... Dave Ramsey, in 2017... gives me an opportunity to do a live radio show taking callers on this content that was still very new in development. Leading into him. Are you kidding me? Guy's a freaking legend. And I'm going to be live in front of him on SiriusXM. So he gave me the opportunity and I had confidence. Yep, I believe I can do it. I believe this is what God's called me to do. I believe I can help people. I believe I've got a message that is understandable and it's applicable. It's doable. I have confidence. But I did not have arrogance. Arrogance is I don't need to learn anything. I don't need to practice with callers. I don't need to, I got this. I have hit the lottery when it comes to talent. There's nothing for me to learn. There's nothing anybody could teach me. I'm better than everybody else, and thus I am irreplaceable. That's arrogance. So when you step into a new environment, be confident. Be confident. You're clear. But see, confidence is not walking around making statements. Confidence is not posturing. Confidence is actually calm. Make sense?
Calm. You said calm.
Calm.
I love that.
See, I'll give you an example. My brand leader, Damon the brand leader, leads everything that I'm doing here. We had a get hired event, I don't know, a month ago or something. And second time we've done it, all content that I've developed and worked on day in, day out. And we were sitting in a back room prior to the event starting. And I remember saying to Damon something to the effect of, I can't believe how calm I am right now. And I got to tell you, this is a live stream event, a lot of teammates involved. This thing's going around the country. There's no safety net. You know, it's a high pressure situation. And in that moment, this is about 30 minutes prior, I had truly reached to a calmness that having been on lots of stages in front of a lot of people and broadcasting live in millions, I had never been this calm before doing a live event and speaking. I was going to be on stage for 90 minutes, basically with very little breaks and just going. And I remember saying to him, And I was just voicing him what I was feeling. When the event was over, we recounted it, and he said some things to me. You know, we were talking about it. And it was after the event that I realized that the calm was coming from confidence. So the difference between confidence and arrogance, again, is confidence is a belief. It's based on something. In that moment before the event, I was so confident because I had prepared. I knew the content. I was calm. Arrogance is walking around with this attitude of superiority. That's the difference. Confidence is a belief. I don't need to walk around, you know, telling everybody how great I am or that I'm better than everybody else. And by the way, we're all guilty of that, but that's a spirit that hangs on you all the time. Arrogance, meaning I can't improve. I've reached the pinnacle. I am God's gift to creation. And I don't think that's you. So arrogance is not, I mean, arrogance is I'm promoting somewhat. I've got this negative spirit and I'm tearing others down to lift myself up. That's an arrogance thing. No humility at all. Confidence is a calm. It's underneath the surface. Yeah, I'm confident. You ask me to do the job, I'm going to do the job. So I think watch your attitude. Watch your spirit towards others. I think you'll be fine. Let's go to Grace in New York City, New York, the Big Apple. Grace, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Grace.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am living the dream. What are you doing?
I am scared to take the leap.
Oh, welcome to the show, right? I mean, come on. I love that.
I know.
You know what that, you know why I'm excited about that?
Why?
Because it tells me there's something you want to jump to. That's exciting.
Yes. All yeah, right. That is.
What are we jumping to? Then I'm going to ask you what you're scared about. What are you jumping to?
So currently I work as a project manager and it's okay because obviously I have to pay bills, but I have been pursuing coaching. So I'm certified, I went through all of the steps. So I feel like if we look at the stages, I feel as though I go through discovery, research, and then somewhere between embark and achieve, I get cold feet and then don't make a move. Like I'll have like a burst of, you know, making steps and then I retreat back. And
well,
I'm
I gotta
not
tell
sure
you,
why.
Because you're afraid. Which,
yes.
By the way, you've been listening to me for a while, haven't you?
Yeah.
You just dropped.
I'm a big researcher.
Yeah. Well, you did some homework on me because you just dropped some old early content. Damon, I got to tell you, she just dropped discovery, research, embark, and achieve. That was like early, early stuff that I have since jettisoned. And I love that you just pulled it out. So let me tell you where you are.
Sorry.
So no, I'm not. I'm so thrilled. You've been paying attention. So really there's seven stages. So I dropped DREAM.
Mm-hmm.
And we jump to the seven stages, which is get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started. That's where you are. You're standing on the edge of stage four, get started. You're terrified.
Get started. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, it's the same as embark. Just a lot of really smart people shot down my early version. And as a result, I got better. I got better at it. So what are you afraid of? Let's just narrow that down. Tell me right now, what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of failing because I've had other, you know, businesses that I've started and then.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a good coach?
My friends and family say so.
I didn't ask your friends and family. I'm asking you. Are you a good coach?
I think so.
Okay. I want to get you from think to believe. And I think if you get to a point where you really break this thing down, do you have good communication skills?
I do.
Okay. Do you have the ability to connect with people?
I do.
Oh, okay. Check. Let's see. What else would a coach need to be really good at? How about discernment? You read people well?
I do.
Oh, good. How about persuading others? Can you teach somebody how to do something? Can you persuade them not just to do it, but to do it the right way?
That I may be a little, because I think I'm not the pushy type. I don't, and not to say that persuasion has to be pushy.
Oh, that's
but
a guide. All right, here's the deal. So I'm going to give you time to really tell me what you're afraid of. When we come back from this break, we're going to expose her fear and everybody's going to learn from it. Helping you overcome your fear and doubt and pride, your financial holdbacks, your relationship junk, anything that's holding you back from becoming who you were created to be. I am your warrior, Ken Coleman. This is the Ken Coleman Show. And just before the break, we ran out of time. Grace is joining us on the line. in New York City, and Grace knows what she wants to do. She wants to be a coach, but her fear's holding her back. And one of the fears is, well, I've started businesses before. So you got a fear of past failure, but I think there's probably something else there, Grace. Am I right or am I wrong? What else are you afraid of?
I can't seem to figure it out.
No, come
on. I don't know what...
Beyond failure, there's something attached to failure. What is it? What are you really afraid of? Let's play this out. Let's say you go full-time into this coaching business and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. What's the worst that can happen? Let's play it out.
I'll lose my apartment, maybe have to live off my retirement savings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's assuming you can't get another job. So you're assuming that when you fail at coaching, and we're playing this out, that all of a sudden you become homeless.
No.
Then why'd you say?
Because I could find another job.
Yeah, but that's what you said. So you see how fear is not being reasonable in this case? There are times where fear protects us. But in this case, I don't think fear is protecting you. Not yet, anyway. I haven't seen any evidence of that. What kind of coaching do you want to do?
Right now, what my focus is, I was looking at helping women that are in their, you know, mid to late 40s that are still working but looking to transition, kind of looking to do what I want to do, find your purpose.
Yeah, wait a second now. Let's say that you're coaching one of these women in that age group. And let's give her a name. Let's say her name is Sylvia, all right? That's just what pops in my mind. And Sylvia's telling you what you're telling me. Well, I want to start this business on the side, but I'm just terrified. What would you tell Sylvia?
I would ask her, what is she terrified of? I would also say to her, what are some things that she really likes to do? Far as the coaching, what does she envision to help?
Yeah.
What does she want to, you know, put out there?
Yeah, so let's go into that first piece of advice. What are you really afraid of? So I asked you what you're afraid of. You're afraid of financial failure.
Mm-hmm.
Is really the only thing you've shared. I think there's probably more there, but let's go with financial failure. So what has to be true for you to fail financially? So one thing that has to be true is that you leave your current day job. Do you have a day job?
I do.
Okay, so we leave the day job, our steady paycheck, and we go full-time into coaching without any clients. That would be not so smart. Agreed or disagree, coach?
Agree.
Oh, okay.
Agree.
So one of the ways that I financially fail is by jumping into the abyss, not having any idea where I land, how I land. Are you going to do that?
No.
Okay, great. Another way that we financially fail is that we get this thing going, and you start making some hay, and then you all of a sudden just stop coaching, or you start being really bad at coaching. That would dry things up, yes or no?
Yes, it would.
You going to do that?
I feel like I've done that already. It's like I started and stopped for some reason, and I don't know why.
Well, sure you do. What did you stop doing before? Coaching?
Oh, no, I had a nail polish line.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, but you're not passionate about nail polish, are you?
No.
Well, of course, that's why you quit.
But I'm wondering, will the same thing happen with the coaching then? Like, will I, you know, I started and then I stopped, and will I not be passionate about
coaching? Wait. Do you love coaching people right now? Do you love it? Have you coached anybody enough to where you go, boy, my soul is set on fire when I'm in a one-on-one coaching?
Actually.
Do you feel that fire?
I don't know if I feel fire. I feel
what do you
good
feel?
That I help someone. I feel good that I help someone.
Okay, so maybe I'm being a little dramatic, but I don't think I am. You got to feel the juice. Like, how does it feel when you coach somebody and they look at you and go, wow, that was breakthrough. That was amazing. It was just what I needed. How do you feel?
I feel really good.
Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being nothing, 10 being your hair is on fire.
I don't know that my hair is on fire.
No, I know that.
I would say a warm 8. I would say maybe an 8.
Okay. So you're overthinking this. Do you want to coach people if I guaranteed you that you could not fail and that you would have a very prosperous and enjoyable career coaching women? Would you do it? No failure. Couldn't fail. Guaranteed to be successful. Is that what you want to do more than anything else? If the answer is, well, I'm not sure, then we've got something we need to be not fearful of or concerned about, but we got to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you want to coach? Why?
Because I think I'm good at gaining information, listening to people's concerns, caring about what their outcomes will be, helping guiding them with my knowledge of, mm-hmm. and really is sharing knowledge. I'm not saying that I'm the all-knowing person, but
yeah.
Sharing knowledge from experiences.
Okay, so here's the deal.
What I've read.
I got mm-hmm. a little bit of a concern here. Because when I asked you okay. why you're doing it, you didn't tell me anything about emotion. You just went, I'm good at it. Now, that's mm-hmm. that's good information. But I started today's mm-hmm. show. I don't know if you heard me open up today's show. Did you hear my little teaching on could,
oh, the passion.
Should, and mm-hmm. must?
I heard mission.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I taught on there's a way to figure out if your passion is calling. Mm-hmm. One statement is, I could be a coach. I could be good at it. I could help women. That's what I'm hearing, some of that. Then there's, I should do it. Now we're moving into conviction. I should do this. I should do this. I believe that women need this help. I believe that I can help them. I think you're at the should. But the last piece of it is, I must. I must do this. If I don't do this, I know that I'm going to regret this years and years from now, because I know that I'm put on this planet to coach women. You got to get to the must stage. Are you there?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't know that it's a must that.
Well, then we don't want to. Then we want to stay in the day job, and we're going to go find out. And you know the way to find out if it's a must is you keep listening to my show. You hear me coach other people, and if it doesn't hit you like a tuning fork in the chest, then it's not the thing mm-hmm. for you.
Okay.
And you need to go hang out with online or in person some people who are successful coaches and learn more about what they're doing. Hang around them and figure out if it's something you must do. I love this call. I think fear is a big part of this. And I think fear of failure has gotten you to this point of uncertainty. But I'm glad it got us to this point, because I think you know how to overcome that fear now that you know that the fear of failure is silly. I don't think you'll fail as a coach, but I don't want you to do something you're good at. I want you to do the thing that you know you were put on this planet to do. Big difference. We address the fear for her, folks, and she can be successful as a coach. We expose the fear. But in exposing the fear, I think we uncovered in the heart that I don't know if it's the thing. But I would tell you, Grace, beyond just talking to other coaches and learning a little bit more and putting yourself in that position to see it and feel it, why don't you do a little bit more coaching? And don't commit to it full time. You're not leaving your job anyway. Do a little bit more and let's get into it some more. And let's actually experience it, because it is very possible that you've yet to get into it enough to where you go, oh my goodness, that is why I'm on the planet. Because I could tell you as a coach, and I'm going to say this because we get a lot of people do the nature of this show. Because of the Ramsey Show, which I'm a co-host of, and this show, we are coaches. And I get a lot of people wanting to do financial coaching. A lot of people want to do career coaching, life coaching. Listen to me, coaches, or potential coaches. Let me say this unequivocally. When I'm working with Grace or anybody else on this show, or I do a live intervention at a live event, and the light bulb goes off, I'll do a coaching session later today, an hour coaching session. When I'm done with that session, I'm going to tell you something. I feel a reward that is almost indescribable. I feel it here. My heart is full because I know I've done what I'm supposed to do. If you don't feel that with coaching, don't pursue it. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you move from paycheck to purpose. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. Madison gave me breaking news during the last commercial break. you can't, if you watch the YouTube show every day, we're on noon Eastern time on YouTube, the Ken Coleman Show. On my shelf over my right shoulder is a signed basketball by Coach K, the legendary Duke basketball coach who I got to interview years and years ago. And he just announced he's going to retire after one season. So Joe was like, hey, man, that ball is going to be very valuable. And it is valuable not because he's a legend, because he's going to be retiring, all the things. It's valuable because I got to interview him, and he wrote on the ball, and it says, to Ken, follow your heart. Many, 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 many years ago, long before I was even clear on what God had called me to do in this show. And I don't know how many times on this show I've said to callers, follow your heart. So that particular basketball, really, really cool. So there you go. Just a little connection to the show. Really, really fun. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana, where Lisa joins us. Lisa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Lisa, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Well, I called you probably about a year and a half ago because I wasn't really happy with the position that I had at the time. And you gave me some advice, and I just a couple of months ago got a new job, a promotion.
Okay.
And good for you. So I was super excited. Thanks. I was super excited about it, but a couple weeks after I accepted the position, I found out that my employer was going to be doing some restructuring, and I was going to get a new boss who happened to be somebody that I had reported to HR a couple of years earlier.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Does he know that you reported him?
He does now.
Oh, my gosh. What are they thinking? Was this like an oversight? What happened?
Well, human resources is different people now than it was at that time. And at that time, they did not document my complaint. So now they're telling me they really can't do anything about it. And he's been making things pretty miserable for me.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And I just don't really know what to do. I feel like
So is HR aware of this? Is HR aware that the very person that you reported, did they discipline him? Was anything done? Or was it just you raised your hand and leadership kind of was like, thanks, and then they did nothing?
Well, so I was super, super embarrassed about what had happened. And if it wasn't for the fact that somebody saw it, I probably wouldn't have even done anything about it, because he was somebody completely outside my umbrella.
Okay.
At the organization at the time.
Okay.
But one of my coworkers saw it happen, and he told me, you have to do something about that. And so,
Was anything done?
No, we went to HR, and, they convinced me to handle it informally. So my boss went and talked to him about it. And really nothing was done.
Okay. So nothing was done.
Okay. No.
And so now he's your leader, and he's making things miserable for you because he's now found out that you're the one that reported him.
I think he always
knew. Okay. So have you gone to HR? Have you gone to HR to say, hey, this guy's making my life miserable?
Yes.
And what do they say?
Said since nothing was documented at the time, and the person who witnessed it with me, he doesn't work for the company anymore. They said that it was closed, and
and I'm not asking you to tell me the details, but did he do something of a inappropriate nature to you, or you just happened to see him do something?
He did something inappropriate to me.
Okay. So we have very clear steps right now. Is that why you're calling me to get next steps? Is that, I've been gathering information this whole time. What can I do for you? Because I've got thoughts.
Yeah, I just don't really know what to do, because I've talked to HR and they're not going to do anything. But he's been really like belligerent towards me, and I feel like he's kind of nudging me out the door.
There's no question.
Forcing him.
Yeah, there's no question. So you have one of two options.
I probably.
You either fight this or you just decide to leave, because I think this is a horrible situation. That there was an actual witness. HR acknowledges that there was a witness. HR acknowledges this happened, but they're saying that because there was no official report, our hands are tied. That's what they're saying. As opposed to real leadership would go, wait a second, this is awful. He's mistreated somebody once, and he's mistreating her again. This is awful.
Yeah.
It's not a place I would want my wife to work. So you have two options. You either decide to leave, and you put up with his crap, not the inappropriate stuff. Well, you never get around this person without somebody else around you or your phone on record. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I wouldn't have a conversation with this clown without my iPhone recording. All right? So that there's always witnesses or something recorded. Number one. Number two, I'd start looking for something else quickly. If you choose not to fight this, stay there, put up with him just being a jerk. He's trying to push you out. So that's fine. Put up with his stupid, immature, awful, horrible, unhealthy leadership. This dude's a scumbag. And you put up with it, again, not the inappropriate stuff, but him just being a jerk. Put up with it until you can find something else, unless you have the financial freedom to walk. If you have the financial freedom to walk and you were my wife, I'd tell you you're resigning today. All right? So the third option.
That's what my husband keeps telling me.
Well, can you afford to walk today?
Yes, I think so.
I'd consider
but
that.
We're on baby step seven. So.
Oh well, okay. Well, hell, okay. You're on baby step seven. I'm walking today. After, well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to call an employment lawyer because you guys can afford it. I have at least one consultation with a good employment lawyer, somebody whose expertise is this kind of stuff. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And then after you consult with them, decide whether or not you want to fight. Because you may not want to fight. You may just go, you know what? I just want to have a fresh start. But you're on baby step seven, so you can afford. You don't need this job. Am I correct?
My concern is that, you know, my husband and I, we have very detailed plans for the rest of our careers and for retirement and
yeah,
where
but,
we want to be. And
yeah, but listen. You're telling me this is the only job you can have that'll help you and your husband reach your financial dreams?
No.
Okay, then. I don't mind if you stay a little bit longer, but you asked my advice. My advice is you either fight it while you're there, and I don't know if you got the stomach for that. I don't hear that, and I don't know that you really want that. But that's one option. The other option is you walk, you find something new. Because you can do it financially. You could go find something else. So either you want to fight it and win this deal, which means he gets fired or reprimanded, and then you got there's just all kinds of mess here. You got to think through.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it? Because I think the third option, if you really want to nail this dude, is I'd leave after consulting an employment lawyer, because they may want you to document some things and do some things with HR, so you got a better case. I would certainly sit down with an employment lawyer and go, "What do you think?" And then you decide what kind of fight, how you're going to fight. That's where I'd start. But being on baby step seven, if my wife, and again, I'm putting this as, I'm just trying to counsel you, if this were Stacy, and if this were Stacy's situation, and we were on baby step seven, I'd be like, do you want to fight? Because if you want to fight, we're going to fight, but we're going to fight on our terms. You're not going to be in that place anymore with that jerk. Because either you leave and we decide to fight, or I'm probably going to jail. Because I'm going to show up with a Louisville Slugger and, or I don't know, Damon, maybe a pitching wedge, probably do more damage. A sharp blade of the pitching wedge, if inappropriate to my wife, I'm going to crack his shins. Hey, I got to get out of here before I get in trouble. You matter. You do have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.